We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz, yet another frivolous extravaganza without Vera Lynn. Before we meet our veterans, we say hello to Charlotte Green, who has a story from the Daily Telegraph.
A dangerous prisoner was on the run last night after escaping from a lone prison officer who took him to a public house, unaware he was considered a high security risk. The officer escorting Richard Tyres to a drug rehabilitation hostel had been given a sealed envelope to be opened only in the event of an escape. In it was a letter which said, "This man is an exceptional security risk." "He has escaped in the past and is likely to try to escape again."
Well, we'd like to thank Mr. G. Appleby of Harrow for that. And let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and John Wells. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Andy Hamilton. Before we start round one, here's an important item from the North Shields News Guardian.
The traditional start to the gardening year is threatened under new Sunday shopping laws, which could ban garden centres from opening on Easter Sunday. Part of the bill, chosen by the Commons and voted on by the Lords this week for partial deregulation, states stores larger than 280 square metres would be banned from opening on Easter Sunday when it falls on a Sunday.
Well, many thanks to Michael Scott of North Shields for sending us that. Richard, your question. Who denied his trivial pursuit had legions of opposition?
I think it must be to do with the great spam fritter debate. Is it?
It is. It is. You so amusingly put it, it's spam fritter debate.
Well, it's a mystery to me. The Major announced that there were going to be these... It may have been the Sun newspaper or Major. It's the same thing, really, these days, isn't it? But they announced there were going to be these spam fritter contests to celebrate the D-Day anniversary. And it was never clear how the fritters were going to be judged, actually. But anyway...
But they're climbing down off the spam fritters.
They're climbing down after protests from Dame Vera Lynn and all the veterans.
It's not worth me up to whale meat again, is it? I often feel these very old jokes creeping out as much as they work.
You only do that on anniversaries, Alan.
Anyway, it's the latest John Major fiasco.
Yes.
Thank you.
This was John Major who denied trivialising the D-Day commemoration by promoting street parties, a Lily Marlene karaoke competition, and as a special treat for British Legion veterans, hiring a bouncy German gun battery. John, how nice to have you back on the programme. Up to now. Your question, who is united in not shelling out extra help to keep the peace? Fairly serious question, this.
Shelling, it's still serious stuff, isn't it? United. Is it something to do with the nations? United Nations?
Yes.
It's all to do with Bosnia.
Right.
Another fiasco of Major's. Mm-hmm.
Yes, all Major's fault. It had a thing in the Daily Mail yesterday by Paul Johnson about how it was all Major's fault. Yeah. It wasn't the Serbs at all. It was all John Major.
This refers to the continued sad events in Bosnia with the Serb shelling of the unsafe haven at Gorojda. Sorry, the UN safe haven of Gorojda. Forces on the ground are desperate for an extra 10,000 troops, so the British government, on the ball as ever, immediately responded by promising to send a regiment of territorials to the Falklands. They'll be quite useful as long as the Argies only invade at weekends or in the third week in August. Andy, your question now. Who may come out fighting with the heavyweights of old?
Well, yes. You may hear the sound of writing on paper at home, viewers. That's now, I've had information that it might be. People have been saying that what John Major's cabinet needs is an injection of fresh blood, and those young Turks, Sir Geoffrey Howe and Peter Walker, have been named. Sir Geoffrey Howe, of course, for that marvellous fighting spirit, whereby he let Mrs. Thatcher trample all over him for about 20 years until he realised he couldn't become Prime Minister, and then waited till she couldn't answer back and just gave it to her on the House of Commons floor. That's the audience that have turned that into a dirty joke,
good
by
heavens,
the way.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Not me.
We don't expect vulgarity from you.
Yes, absolutely. So, anyway, we can look forward to them coming back,
and,
I suppose.
Edward Heath, perhaps. He was...
Well, what? Eden. He's got the kind of cutting edge that I think maybe...
This is ex-Prime Minister-to-be John Major, who is coming under growing pressure to seek cabinet advice from intellectual heavyweights of old. He's already got Henry Cooper, but Joe Bugner's been turned down on the grounds that he's too highbrow. Asked if he was becoming over-reliant on past glories, the Prime Minister replied, "No, never in the field of human conflict." And talking of Tory heavyweights...
A £42 million dual carriageway through Norwich-Norfolk was dropped yesterday when John Gummer, the Environment Secretary, upheld an inspector's report that it was short-sighted and would encourage car use.
And we thank Adam Thompson of Belgium for sending us that... which originally appeared in The Guardian. Right, Alan, here's a piece of music.
Not what she was, Barbara Streisand. She's lost it.
Who was that?
Let me tell you,
Alan.
Why
do I have to follow
it was
that?
Florence Foster Jenkins.
Of course it is. It's always her.
Singing like a
she
bird.
She's a liberal Democrat.
What? Could well be singing like that. Your question is, whose flight of fancy has cleaned them out? Would you like a clue?
Yeah, not that. I got the feeling from this that this is about broom. There's a company called Broom. I think you've got a... If you are prepared to fly on their brooms to California and all sorts of other places, you've got a free Hoover bag. And it's all gone wrong. They've sacked everybody. And all the people who are ever going to get a free Hoover or a free flight or whatever it is are satisfied. And it's cost 48 million quid.
Hoover denied they tried to wriggle out of the scheme. It's just they were amazed by the number of people who didn't want to take up the offer of a flight at 4 a.m. on February the 29th from Inverness to Beirut. And the scores at the end of the first round are amazingly for all. We open round two with a heartening story from the Epsom and Banstead News.
Burglars ran riot in Ewell Post Office after scaling a 20-foot ladder and cutting through an iron grille to get in. The raiders ruined orders, ripped out all the stock, including phones, and helped themselves to TV licences and thousands of pounds worth of cash. A post office spokesman said they were vandals. They did a lot of damage and left the place in a terrible state. All the stock was destroyed, but from the post office's point of view, that's better than having it damaged.
Well, many thanks to Nick Gilman of Epsom for sending us that. Richard, your turn for a question again. How did one's best friend prompt a doggone ad?
Yes, I think...
I think you're onto it.
Yes, I think I am for once. Poor old Charles, it's his latest fiasco too. His dog, which is called Pooh, after the, you know, this wonderful book, I don't know if you read it, Barry,
no.
About this bear that goes around.
Really?
This bear called Pooh, and he has a little friend called Piglet.
Oh.
And it's frightfully good, frightfully good.
Jolly interesting, sir.
Anyway, I had a Jack Russell. I don't know whether he acquired it from Bill Deege or not, but Deege always had a lot of Jack Russells about. And
two impersonations in one answer.
Anyway, it disappeared down a rabbit hole, and he's heartbroken.
Yes.
He's always losing these creatures that run off from him.
This is the news that Prince Charles has lost his dog called Pooh. That's in addition to the one he lost years ago called Marbles.
Very unfair.
The young Jack Russell went missing after a romp down a rabbit hole with the mother. That's the dog's mother. An ad appeared in the Lost and Found column of the Balmoral local paper, offering a small reward, like Cornwall, perhaps. John, where can you no longer read all about it by royal appointment?
Oh, yes, that was a very interesting story. The Queen Mother discovered they were flogging dirty videos at Hatchard's in Piccadilly. And instead of going and getting her guide to the turf there in the normal way and having truckloads of form books brought round by hand, she has withdrawn her royal cipher from the outside of the shop. And I think it's... I'm amazed. Did you know they sold videos in...
No, I
shops
didn't
like
know. How did she find out, do you suppose?
I think she was... Oh, she probably, you know, she's got those funny footmen, and I expect...
You get your points. Andy, here's a piece of music for you. I used to play in a band that sounded like that. Anyway, it was the March Militaire played by the Portsmouth Symphonia. And your question is, who was feeling a bit brassed off at not taking off?
Brassed off at not taking off. Now, don't say I know this in an obvious way, Alan. It will sound like I'm ignorant for the people at home. I'll extemporise while you write it down for me. I thought this was going to be a question about Mr. Major being asked by a journalist in a scrum at Basildon the other week, what do you think about the whether anyone would challenge you for the leadership? And he said, on the way out!
Well,
I think I'm going to devolve this question to Alan.
I've written down no reeds, because it wasn't the brass section. It's a band that was supposed to go and play in the Falklands.
That's right.
Port Stanley. By God, memory, what an awful thing it is. Only Vera Lynn can remember that. Little engagement. Anyway, they all turned up at Heathrow, or wherever it is they were going, and only half of them had passports. And it was the reeds didn't have passports. So all the reeds went home again. And the banjos and violins and triangles went down to Port Stanley and played half of what they were supposed to play.
That'll teach the
commemoration archers. Something. They left their passport.
That's right, that's
was
it.
That it?
Say what you like about Rommel, but you can bet he didn't let the Africa Corps go to El Alamein without having their pictures taken at Woolworths first. The band had intended to play in Port Stanley to mark Her Majesty's birthday, but the plucky islanders have recruited a squad of reservists who will go on parade just as soon as the emergency airdrops of combs and tissue paper arrive, which due to defence cuts won't happen until the RAF has sorted out their free flights from the Hoover office. Alan, your question proper now. Whose cheap profit hovered around £8 million?
Fergie.
That's right.
It's Fergie the helicopter. And she's just signed £1 million deal to go on making more and more money. She's written about a talking helicopter. They're all barking mad. That right? One of them has got a dog called Pooh. Do you know that dog called Pooh was originally called Tigger, and he changed its name to Pooh to go with the other one, which is called Roo. I saw that. Anyway, the big redhead has written another...
I thought he called it Pooh after it did a mess on the carpet.
So dim, you probably called it Tigger after it did a mess
on
the
carpet. Oh, I see.
Anyway, the Duchess, the ex-Duchess of Thing, or wherever she stands at the moment, has done another series of tales involving a charming helicopter.
She pinched it off someone else, too. I mean, it is alleged.
What?
It is alleged.
Come on, out with it.
It has been alleged that she pinched the story of the talking helicopter from another.
Well, it was called Hector the Helicopter, which I used to entertain my children with when they were young.
Yeah, I heard that she just found it in Princess Michael's photocopier. That's what I heard.
It is the Duchess of York who sold the TV rights to Budgie, the little helicopter, for £8 million, of which she'll get 20%. So she's making a fortune out of doing clever things with the chopper yet again. Because she's already sold the stories once in book form. In the past, the Duchess has been accused of being an illiterate plagiarist, but she says she doesn't know the meaning of the words. And we'll prove it with her next two books, Terence the Tank Engine and Postman Pete with his black and white dog. And at the end of round two, the scores have still remained magically the same at 8-8. We start round three with this from the New Scientist.
The National Westminster Bank admitted last month that it keeps personal information about its customers, such as their political affiliation, on computer. But now Computer Weekly reveals that a financial institution, sadly unnamed, has gone one better and moved into the realm of personal abuse. The institution decided to mail-shot 2,000 of its richest customers, inviting them to buy extra services. One of its computer programmers wrote a program to search through its databases and select the customers automatically. He tested the program with an imaginary customer called Rich Bastard. Unfortunately, an error resulted in all 2,000 letters being addressed... Dear Rich Bastard. The luckless programmer was subsequently sacked.
Thank you, Charlotte. Richard, what old age pilferers were caught green-fingered?
I'm still puzzling about that man in Belgium listening to the news. How do you explain that?
Paranormal.
Rich, what, so, is this about oldies?
Yes, it's about old people.
Older people.
Not to be politically incorrect, old age pilferers.
As opposed to new age pilferers.
Yes, yes. Yes, quite. No, I'm sorry, I can't...
Well, that's on that side of the house.
They're nicking gnomes. They're going to garden centres.
Mm. That's right.
And taking companions home. I mean, if you're a very old gnome, human gnome, you want someone to talk to. You can find someone with a fishing rod, and you take it home on a trolley. And they're not being prosecuted because the garden centres feel uneasy about this.
Wasn't Major's father a manufacturer of
garden gnomes?
The bottom fell out of gnomes, which was why they had to move into the prime ministering. Alas, otherwise John Major would be now a successful gnome manufacturer.
Yeah, he'd be a failed gnome manufacturer.
Yes. I think hats off to the old OAPs for having that much energy, don't you think? Should be congratulated.
Could we move on now, please?
Richard is feeling his age. These are 200 pensioners who've been banned from a Plymouth garden centre after being caught shoplifting. You don't often hear advice for that on Gardener's Question Time. First take your secateurs and then leg it. Local police suspect their behaviour was fuelled by drink. And as a result, the Plymouth Derby and Joan Club has cancelled its riotous and natogen happy hour. John, we've run out of music, but have some of this.
Why this feeling? Why this girl? Why the thrill when you say hello? Is a strange and tender magic you do, Mr. Wonderful? That's you.
This is the advertisement for the new Mr. Wonderful underpant, which replaces the Wonder Bra.
That, incidentally, was Mr. Wonderful's song by Barbara Cartland.
He's awfully good, isn't he?
Just picture toddling back from the garden centre with her drawers full of looted cactuses and still being able to sing as prettily as that.
I know. Yeah,
whose wonderful sunset has risen again in the west?
This is to do with the wonderful, our baronet. I know he's so nice, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber, about whom very, very amusing and unkind stories are told, who has spent an enormous amount of money to refurbish Miss Patty Lupone and find other employment for her, poor girl, while the show goes on without it. Okay. He brought Sunset Boulevard, this old movie, dramatized. It's a new trick, really. You know, you just take an old movie and turn it back into a stage show, and then you turn the stage show back into a book, and then you just publish the original notes.
This was the relaunch of the musical Sunset Boulevard, which critics describe as much better than the original. Well, that, what they actually said was much shorter, but we know what they meant. Alan, where did a lack of beef prove to be the main beef?
I couldn't understand this at all, but perhaps that man who writes to us from Belgium can explain about Europeans. Apparently, Europeans were polled, Europeans who wander around England looking at Anne Hathaway's remains, were polled on whether they missed anything. And they all said there weren't enough cows. It seemed extraordinarily strange. They weren't asked to elaborate why there weren't enough cows. I don't know what Europeans want to do with it, but we want to tug things in the morning for some fresh European beverage that keeps them sparkly. But that's the only thing that they missed. They like everything about Britain except there were no cows.
That's right.
They're strange people.
It is a survey of foreign tourists which reveals that their top complaint is the absence of the good old British cow. Well, they should try looking for her in the good old British House of Lords. Dairy expert. Oh, no, no.
I didn't do that. Yes, I knew that.
And at the end of round three, the scores are, well, they have changed dramatically because Richard and John are 10, but Alan and Andy have leapt into the lead with 13. Talking of tourists.
The British Tourist Authority's New York office received 370,000 queries last year. Among those were inquiries as to whether the Cotswolds were open on Sundays. Along with questions on how to book in advance for a performance of Piccadilly Circus. One caller wanted to know if the UK had running water, whilst another couldn't work out whether it was Heathrow or Gatwick Airport that was closer to Venice.
Well, thanks for that to Pat Daly of Bristol, which, as everyone knows, is in Schleswig-Holstein. And thanks for sending that copy from The Times. Well, we begin the last round with a piece of music for you, Richard. Well, your question is, who slipped into hard competition with too much soft soap?
Well, this is the great battle that took place earlier this week between the BBC and the ITV, which was won by, I'm glad to say, by Coronation Street, because all the punters watched that and they didn't watch EastEnders.
Why are you glad?
Well, because it's so much better, Ducky.
Oh.
Our EastEnders is so violent and so crude.
Oh.
And Coronation Street, lots of lovely ladies in it, and very, very amusing. Anyway, the Granada won hands down.
It was all designed to wipe out the Monday repeat of the news quiz, isn't
it? It was.
Trying to work out these figures. We lost 27 million people last Monday.
Yes, this was absolutely right, Richard. Thank you for giving us an intelligent answer.
For once.
This was, no, this was the outbreak of soap wars on our TV screens last Monday evening. All at the same time, BBC One, ITV and Channel 4 were battling out their soap operas with ever more depressing storylines, with only jolly old BBC Two trying to lighten things up a bit with a programme about flooding in the third world. Your question now, John.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Barry.
What funny girl is hoping we'll shell out for a sellout?
Oh, God.
Do you know about this?
Oh, it's so distressing. Every time you open a newspaper, there's this enormous nose. attached to Miss Streisand, who is, you know, like the rest of us, getting on. And I don't know why she's come over here, but anyway.
Didn't she insist on having it all carpeted or something?
Yeah, I think she did. So they couldn't, she couldn't, you know, people being sick. No, I think hats off to her. I think she's a grand old performer and a great trooper. And I think as a fellow performer, I think we all feel very generous and welcome, Barbara. And jolly good to have you with us.
I preferred Barbara Cartland, myself. She had a lovely
much
voice.
Smaller nose, mind you. Andy, who got 6 months despite making several clean getaways?
Now, funny enough, this has just come to me as well.
The man's name is Sad. Mr. Sad.
Mr. Sad?
Yes.
There's a John Major.
Do it as a double act.
No, he's
Mr. Sad. He nicks cards.
And he returns.
And he valets them. And pumps up the tyres and empties the ashtrays. And leaves those little dangly fresh air things that all mini cab drivers have in them. And then he takes them back to the original owners. Because he's barking mad. He's probably royal or the king of somewhere. But anyway, he wanders the north of England stealing cars, carting them up and giving them back to people.
He's become the first car thief to be prosecuted for driving with due care and attention. They're also keen to interview Colin about a spate of burglaries where someone broke into houses, did all the housework and then left a brand new Hoover under the stairs. Alan, your question now. Who went before the beak with a complaint about the beaks?
Yes, it's something of a sort of budgie filiac week. I assume this person, whose name was Kennedy, is so besotted with the Duchess of Yuck that he wants to emulate her. Anyway, he's bought 45 budgies. He took his shoes off, hoping they would be taught to suck his toes. But anyway, what these 45 budgies did, they ran up their 45 little ladders in the middle of the night and rang their 45 little bells. Whereupon people next door, who were called Fuzzy, went out and bought a ghetto blaster, which they turned up, hoping they would blow the little budgies off their perches.
They need that really clean thief to go around there, don't they? And sort of
to the bottom of the cage?
Yeah.
Yes, you'd never know what you mean.
You could hoover them all out, couldn't you? And then get a free trip to Beirut.
Mrs. Fussy bought earplugs and then retaliated with a ghetto blaster, playing endless tapes of I Taught I Tore a Putty Tat. She said she would have gone round to complain in person, but to ring her neighbour's front door bell, you have to run up a little ladder and bash it with your head. Now, before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard, have you brought a cutting?
Unusual event in Midsummer Norton, I'm afraid. Oh. Thieves stole 322 bottles of perfume and three cameras from a chemist in Midsummer Norton. They left behind a carrier bag containing a pound of sprouts, a Swede and a screwdriver.
That seems perfectly fair to me, anyway. John.
This is from Bedfordshire on Sunday, and it says, police are hunting an astonishingly ugly armed robber. He has grey Elvis Presley-style sideburns, buck teeth, and a bottom lip that sticks out so much that he was unable to pull his stocking mask over. Detective Constable Steve Bayford, who's investigating the raid, said he is without doubt the ugliest robber we have ever heard of. Astonishingly ugly. A photo fit will probably be too distressing.
Oh, a triumph. Andy, what have you brought for us?
Well, I've got one. It's not funny. It's just terribly puzzling. And I thought, I just thought I'd share it with everybody. It's from Mike Storer. He says, I saw this in a dancewear catalogue. Quite know what that means. Don't know what dancewear is. Probably something that funny footmen wear, I think. Yeah. And the ad, which is in bold blue type, says, Section C, minimal bounce bra. The number one sports bra on the market. Comma, so excellent, even the British Army recommends and wears them.
Thank you, Andy. Alan?
I've got one from the Bexhill Observer. It says, Anwar Hamri, 52, who described himself to the court as a medium, has been fined £300 by Bexhill magistrates for fraudulently obtaining £50 from a plainclothes policeman whom he undertook to put in touch with Tommy Cooper.
Well, thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. Richard and John, 14.